have your Bibles, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You know, full service stations have become very difficult to find nowadays. I don't even know if they still exist. But likewise, full service Christians are also hard to find. Just take a look and you'll see.
I've been collecting donations for a couple of weeks now, and I feel good about it. I found that the key to a profitable day is a little smile and the right amount of bell, because you don't want to get too crazy with the bell. Of course, I found that out the hard way. At the end of every shift, I want to get in that bucket and see what I brought in, okay? I want to measure my effectiveness. But I cannot pick that lock, and I have tried. I have tried using my own keys. I've tried using a hairpin, my fingernails. I can't reach my hand in the top of it either. And if I'm going to serve, I want to know how good I'm doing. You know, I got a bonus the other day for sticking very closely to the script. And believe me, honey, I would not be doing this if there were no bonuses, because I'm really putting it out there.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, does that mean something to me? That means nothing to me.
The other day, my shift supervisor said to me, well, why don't you go over to Weatherby Street and get some donations over there? I said, I don't think so. That is not my neighborhood. Here in my neighborhood, they see me and they know me and they make note. Oh, okay, that's what she's doing. Because I am a servant, I'm going to serve my community where people can, you know, see me and say hello. Much is given, much is required. I believe it was Kennedy that said that. It feels very good to bring myself down to the level of a servant. That's earning me a star somewhere. I know it. And I'm helping. And I feel good about it. Okay. And if anyone wants to say that I'm not doing anything productive for the community, well, guess what? You try putting on a wool cape, all right, and walking around. I feel like a big donkey, all right? This isn't easy. I'm good at what I do. I'm good at what I do.
Oh, my. Most come because they want to be served, want to be blessed, want to be helped. Want to be encouraged or want to be counseled. Unfortunately, often full-service churches are hard to find, where they exist to bless others, only to be blessed. Lots of people these days like to be served, but few like to serve. After dying, there were these three friends who died, Robert, Sam, and Tim, who woke up outside of heaven. And St. Peter says, before any of you can enter, you have to pass through this muddy bog. And all those who pass through this muddy bog, you'll sink in proportion to the amount of unconfessed sin you have when you died. So Robert, he starts out walking across this muddy bog, and he begins to sink. And he struggles onward, and he pushes through to the opposite side just as the mud reaches his neck. And he looks back and he sees his friend Sam walking across, and his shoes are barely sinking into the muddy bog, the mire. And Robert says, he says, I can't believe it. He said, I would have never guessed you're so holy. And Sam replies, I'm just standing on Tim's shoulders. Don't worry about it. You know, we all have someone that we can depend on, I guess. Today I want to look at serve one another. And because the thing that would mark, or the thing that we really understand who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do, would be that of our servanthood. So as we look at our text in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 1, it reads, it was for our freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified from law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but through faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion didn't come from him who calls you. A little leaven lumpens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear this judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who are troubling you even mutilate themselves? For if you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes there, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity through the flesh, but through love serve one another." What is serving and what does it mean? Service or servanthood is the willingness to humble oneself, an act for the benefit of another in the name of Christ. Servanthood is to humble oneself as an act or benefit for someone other than you in the name of Christ. It's an attitude followed by an action that wants to better or facilitate the improvement or condition of someone else. You become the servant who comes alongside and assists somebody outside of you in some area where that assistance will improve them, whether spiritually or to improve their condition of their circumstances. But whatever it is, you want to improve or better their situation to whatever degree that you can. And that is servanthood. And that's this attitude that you want to help somebody else get further along and better themselves than they are right now because of the assistance that you provided for them in some area. When a minister performs a wedding, it's customarily to go in and pray with the bride. I had the privilege of doing my first wedding this weekend, and it was a wonderful experience. I learned to knock on the door before you go in and pray with the bride, so I did learn that. But I did get to go in and pray with the bride. And so when you go in there, you have the bride and her bridesmaids, and there are other ladies who are close to her, and they're making sure that everything is just right. The dress is right, and the veil is right, and the makeup is right, because when that bride walks down the aisle, they want to make sure that she was walking down that aisle in all of her glory, because this is her special day. She has waited a long time for this and spent a lot of money on that, special day. So she wants to make sure everything's right. You that have married off daughters know that it costs a lot of money for a wedding. And so they want to make sure everything's right. And so she has her bridesmaids making sure everything's right. And so she's surrounded by these bridesmaids who function to a degree as her servants to make sure that she looks really good. And so Jesus Christ wants to look really good. And what makes him look really good are his servants who come alongside to take who he is and embellish him for others to see it, and that's what's called servanthood. And if you are called to Christ, as I hope all of you have been, because you've accepted him as your personal Savior, then you've been called to serve. The reason why God created the church is to provide a family setting or an environment for servanthood. You ever wonder why God gave wings to a chicken? I mean, they can't fly. They can't float. God gave wings to chicken for people. In fact, the chicken wings are the most expensive part of a chicken. Wings cost almost as much as the whole chicken does nowadays, and they've gotten really creative with them. They have all kinds of food specialties for chicken wings, and they have restaurants that specialize in chicken wings now, especially this time of year with football season coming up. The hot wings and all kinds of flavored wings. But have you ever felt like a wing on a chicken? Don't think you can do anything in the church? Can't sing? Some people feel like they can't speak. But what you think is small, God sees as really big and colossal. There is power in faith, and there is power in serving one another. Now, you can't serve anyone, and I can't serve everyone, because we're living in our humanity, but everyone can serve someone. Because if everybody is a servant, somebody gets served, including the servant. And he says, I want you to serve one another. The appliances in our homes are our servants. The question of the refrigerator isn't, what do you want to eat? Instead, it's, what do you want to keep cold? The question of your stove isn't, what do you want to get cooked? It's rather, what do you want to make hot? The appliances are your servants. They are there to facilitate your hunger. It's a platform, but you have to make it work. It's not going to pop out the food for you. You have to supply it, but it can keep it fresh and cold, and it can cook it up. It can make it hot for you. And so it is, every Christian has been called into the family of God to be a facilitator to the benefit of one another. And in doing so, we fulfill our very purpose for being, because every believer has been saved to serve. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. But then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the verse right after that, it says, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has created beforehand, that we might walk in them. He has created opportunities for us to serve beforehand, that we might walk in them in a good work. So the question is, why does serving become so difficult for so many, if not most Christians? Why are most Christians only concerned about being blessed and not concerned about being a blessing? Why is it only about the three? Me, myself, and I. What is it that limits service so that the kingdom work doesn't get done? People are not assisted for. People are not cared for. People are not valued. So what is it? Just what is it that limits the servant spirit so that it should mark kingdom people? And it's in the verse. It's right there in the verse. Notice what it says in verse 13 of our text today that we read in the beginning. So you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You see, in order to be a servant, you have to know freedom. He connects freedom with a willingness to serve. In other words, if you don't know freedom, you might not be willing to serve. Or, if you've gotten so used to freedom, maybe you've forgotten to serve. And suddenly it becomes clear that now Jesus, or that's why Jesus may be having problems finding servants. We've forgotten what it's like to be made free. When John F. Kennedy spoke, and he was talking about what it means to be an American, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And what prompted that was there are benefits to being an American. Now, this country has its flaws, but it was established on a premise called freedom. Flawed as it may be, it was established on a premise that I could come to America and be born in America and have the opportunity to maximize my potential. And because what would mark this country different than most others in the world is freedom. Freedom. I could, because I get to be free and choose my destiny, to choose my preferences, and because I get to be free, as flawed as it may be, I should want to serve a country that gives me my freedom. We have service men and women. Men and women who are in the armed service, and you know their task is to protect our freedom from enemies without and enemies within. And that these servicemen and women are assigned the job of protecting our freedom. Why? Because freedom is a terrible thing to lose. You watch the news, you see overseas, and there are people losing their freedom concerning their faith. And that's not all they're losing. Men and women and children are losing their lives now concerning their faith. It's a terrible thing. Just last week and more, or this week and more, terrible things are happening concerning faith. So freedom. Cherish your freedom. Protect it, value it, and be thankful for it. In the last days during the Civil War, the Confederate capital in Richmond, Virginia, fell to the Union Army, and Abraham Lincoln insisted on visiting that city. And even though no one knew he was coming, slaves recognized him immediately when he approached it, and they surrounded him. And he had liberated them from the emancipation through the Emancipation Proclamation, and now Lincoln's army had set them free. And according to Admiral David Porter, an eyewitness, Lincoln spoke to this close-knit crowd that started gathering around him, and he said, "My poor friends, you are as free and free as air." He said, "You can cast off the name of slave and trample on it. Liberty is your birthright." But Lincoln also warned them, he said, "Not to abuse your freedom. Let the world see that you value your freedom," Lincoln said. "Don't carry your joy to the excesses." He said, "Learn the laws and obey them." And that's very much like the message that Jesus gives those whom he liberated through his death and resurrection. Jesus gives us our true birthright, our spiritual freedom, but that freedom isn't an excuse for disobedience. It forms the basis for learning and obeying God's laws, and it gives us direction and action. Paul was writing to the people who lost sight of that freedom in Galatia. Look at verse 1. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." Verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, "Christ set you free to be free." Christ didn't set us free to be in bondage. On the cross, Jesus Christ posted bail for you and I. The price was posted bail to get us out of jail. On the cross, he got you and I out of an eternal jail called hell. But that's not all. That's not the only jail he got us out of. On the cross, Jesus got you and I out of anything that holds us illegitimately hostage. And I don't know what jail that you may be in today, but Jesus didn't post bail for you to stay incarcerated or to be held captive. Whatever that thing is that's illegitimately handcuffing you in your mind or in your emotions or in your actions or whatever circumstances may be, whatever is holding you hostage, Jesus says, "I set you free so you can be free. I didn't set you free so you could have a comfortable jail cell." And the reason why more people can't serve today is because they're still in jail. And he says, "It's for freedom that I have set you free." So if you're not serving, maybe it's because you don't know you're free yet. In fact, he goes deeper. In verse 4, he says, "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified from law. You have fallen from grace." You see, freedom is based on grace, not law, he says. Grace. Freedom is based on grace because in the Old Testament, you had to perform to be blessed under grace. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, he says, "I have already blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Under grace, everything God is ever going to do for you, he has already done. You don't get God's blessing by performance. I know that may disappoint some of you today, may surprise some of you today. But under grace, the reason you do what you do is because you recognize that bail has been posted for you. Under the law, you're still trying to get God to post bail for you. Under the law, you're still trying to get God to say, look at what I've done. Do something for me because of what I've done. Under grace, God says, I've done it for you because I'm looking what Jesus has done for you. Jesus posted bail for us, so now I serve because I'm so thankful that I'm no longer in jail. You see, a lot of us are trying to get out of jail when Jesus has already posted bail for us to get out. When a mother is with her son and a child who's done something wrong, and they're in the courtroom for the sentence before the judge, you know what that mother's hoping for? For probation. She's hoping that that judge would give him some community service. Let him go out there and serve some community work and for some community hours instead of locking him up. And so when Jesus posted bail and you've recognized that you've been set free, when you could have been incarcerated for eternity, community service shouldn't be a problem. Just don't misuse your freedom. You know, a teenage boy told his parents that he was going to run away from home. And he said, listen, I'm leaving home. There's nothing that you can do to stop me. I want excitement, adventure, beautiful women, money, and fun. And I'm never going to find it here, and so I'm leaving. Just don't try to stop me. And as he headed for the door, his father got up and ran toward him. And he said, Dad, the boy said, he said, you heard what I said. Don't try to stop me. The father answered, who's trying to stop me? I'm going with you. That's why Paul said, don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Because when you recognize what Jesus has done, that he's already set you free. In fact, if you decide to be a servant, that is your ticket out of jail because you've been set free. And instead of asking God to free you, you should thank him that you're free and begin serving. And then you'll begin to experience that freedom that has already been purchased on the cross. And when believers miss this, when they miss this, they stay locked up. And they try to make their cell as manageable as possible. And they have this mindset, well, since I'm going to be messed up anyway and locked up anyway and defeated anyway, and since I'm going to be a victim and not victorious anyway, I might as well just try to make the best of myself. You haven't been called to that. You haven't been called to have a pretty jail cell along with a TV and nice curtains and pictures and to make it as manageable and to decorate it and make it comfortable and just to settle for it. He says, it was for freedom that I've set you free. And it may be that some have been locked up for so long that they don't know what it's like to live out in a free world because the accuser has so many convinced that you're in the cell, even though the door may be open or unlocked, that you might as well just settle. You're free and can go out any time, but you're just so used to it, why leave? It's scary out there. But you're so comfortable here. If you want to experience freedom that you already have, he says, serve one another. Get outside of yourself. Get outside of where you think you can't make it and become a servant. And the freedom that you're already free with becomes your experience. What if you decide to serve one another? You see, to become a servant, you have to become humble. You can't be Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff. Because Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff want to be served. They always see what's in it for them. Because they have an agenda to see what they can get out of stuff. In John chapter 13, Jesus has a meal with his disciples in the upper room. And he says, in verse 1, he says, now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, it was time for him to die now, and having loved his own during the supper, The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas to betray him. And Jesus, knowing this in verse 3, that the Father had given him power over everything, got up and rose forth from the supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel and he was, with which he was girded. And Jesus becomes a servant, and he is their master. And Peter says to him in verse 6, he says, "Are you washing my feet?" And Jesus says, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but hang in there. You'll understand later." And in verse 8, Peter says, "You shouldn't be washing my feet." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, we're not close. You have no part of me. We're not intimate if you don't let me wash your feet." And in verse 9, he said, well, give me a bath then," Peter says. "Wash me all over because I want to be close to you. Just bathe me." In verse 10, Jesus says, "You already had a bath, Peter. You don't need a bath. You just need your feet to be washed." For he knew that one was going to betray him, and he says, "Not all of you are clean, though," because Judas was still there. And so when he had washed their feet and taken their garments and reclined at the table, he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right." He said, "If then the Lord, the teacher, has washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And I gave you this as an example, and you should do as I did. And if you do these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In the biblical days, they wore sandals, and they didn't have shoes and socks like we do, and they didn't have paved roads or cement walkways. They had dusty roads. And so even though they took a bath or a shower, when they went to dinner, when you went to dinner, you got dust on your feet, and they had dirty roads. So when you walked into someone's house, there would be a servant there with a towel, and he would wash your feet because you had dust on your feet. When you walked into someone's house for a dinner, not to bathe you, because you'd already bathed or showered, hopefully, but just to wipe the dust or feet off of your feet. So the servant would be there to welcome you into the house and do that. And you and I, even though we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, know what it's like to live in a dirty world. And you and I know what it's like to get dirty, even though we've been washed and cleansed by the blood. We get dirty feet. And he says, the thing that you should do, and what I'm trying to illustrate for you, is that you should wash one another's feet. Maybe not literally, but help each other stay clean. Help each other be strengthened. And Jesus said, if I can do it, and I'm your master and Lord, then who are you, Mr. Big Stuff, Mrs. Big Stuff? And Jesus says, are you telling me I can be a servant and I can create the universe? And you can't serve? And he says, I'm leaving you to do this. He says, are you telling me I can be part of this? People should be praising my name continually, but yet I can still serve? He says, I'm leaving you to do this so you can have part of me. So you can have a vertical fellowship with me. And then in your foot washing with one another, you're serving one another. So if you want to have more of me, if you want to experience more of me, if you want to be blessed by more of me, and by the way, this was before the Holy Spirit had fallen upon any of them. Many people want to be filled and experience more of the Spirit and have more power, but Jesus says, if you want to be blessed by more of me, then serve one another. What if you served one another? Then let me see you wash somebody's feet other than your own. A little boy came to his mother one day and he said, Mama, I'm going to have a little list for you tomorrow when you get up. Mother got up the next day and there was a list. It says, for mowing the lawn, $2. For emptying the trash, $2. For cleaning my room, you owe me $2. For doing the dishes this week, $2. I hear some of you got that list too, huh? For vacuuming the floor, $2. So, Mama, you owe me $10. The mother read the list. And when he came home from school, there was another list. And on top of that list, there was a $10 bill. And it said, for carrying you 9 months and being nauseous most of those months, no charge. For cooking you breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 15 years, no charge. For working overtime to buy you those tennis shoes that you had to have and really wanted, no charge. For staying up with you and taking you to the emergency room, losing pay at work, so I had to stay home and be with my sick child, just wanted you to know, no charge. So here's your $10. When he came home and read the list of what the mother had done, and because he had gotten so used to her doing it, and recognizing the price of what the mother had done, he gave back the $10, because now he was responding to the goodness of his mother. You see, we have become so used to Jesus. We have become so used to God. And we've become so used to the church. We've become so used to activity that we have missed what God is after. And God is after an experience with Him. And that is a response to Him because of what He did for you. It was for no charge. No charge. What if we served one another by experiencing the joy that it has? The church exists to serve you today. So our prayer partners and counselors come to serve you today through prayer, through healing, through counseling, whatever it may be, we are here to serve you today. If you need that today, we are here and always will be here to serve you. And we have servants here in our church that are dedicated and will be here to do that. We have served mightily this week. We have a few that have served in this church, dedicated for years. And we are so thankful for them. But we need more. We need more. Because those few can get tired when it all falls upon them. And Jesus Christ calls you to serve, if not in the church, in your community. And as you rise today, as we sing, please stand. God may be calling you to step forth and serve. To step forth out of your comfort zone and serve, whether it be here in the church or in your community. Be free. Walk out and serve. You need service here today, we are always here for you because we love, and that's why we exist, for God's workmanship to shine. Whatever God's calling you today, follow through with it as the Spirit leads and as we sing.
1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. From the inside out, Lord, let justice and praise become my embrace to love.
Thank you very much today for coming and worship with us. I want to thank church family. We have wonderful, wonderful servants in our church family. Our church family has reached out, ministered to the Day family this week. As Griff lost his soulmate this week, loved on him and the Day family. We love them so much. Casey and JC. Kelly's have lost a dear friend to them, Teresa. Love them so much. And thank you so much for reaching out and helping Cindy recover with meals. You guys are just incredible. And I just thank you for that. Just thank you for that. For your servanthood. That's what it's all about. I appreciate that. We appreciate that as your pastors. Means a lot. Letting your light shine before men, created in Christ Jesus for His good works. We thank you. Keep it shining. Keep it shining. Father, we just thank you so much for the power and glory that you give us as your sons and daughters as we continue to serve you in your kingdom. Give us the power and might to go further. Let us be free and experience that freedom that you've so freely given us through your Son. Cleansed us through His blood. Let us be thankful for that freedom. No matter how much the accuser comes against us and tries to set us back, let us push him aside and press forward. No matter how weary we may get, let us push it aside. Give us the wings as eagles, the spirit beneath our wings. We love you and praise you. And all the church said, Amen.